While looking for a passage to cover, I came across the one that is very relevant for us today. With all that is going on in the world, many are fearful of what is to come. Some people fear what others think of them. Some fear illness. Some fear financial disaster. Some fear possible catastrophes. Some fear death itself. In the current climate of our society, fear is growing in various forms. There seems to be, in particular, a growing fear of death. And while it may be understandable that death is on the minds of people during a time of uncertainty, I believe what Tertullian, a third century church father, speaking of death, said is very relevant. It is a poor thing to fear that which is inevitable. Christians have no reason to fear death, since we have received eternal life through Jesus Christ. While we shouldn't fear death, continuing to live a life to serve God should be a priority for Christians. We should have the same attitude the Apostle Paul had in Philippians. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. When we lose a fellow believer in Christ, we are saddened that they have left us, but an underlying joy that we have an underlying joy that they now reside with Christ. We think of Jerry, who recently passed. He's with the Lord now. He's not suffering. Think of this reminds me of a portion of a familiar hymn that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we are to enjoy our time of serving the Lord while on earth, Christians look expectantly to the time we will serve Jesus in heaven. Everyone experiences fear at times. Often fear we experience is misplaced or misdirected. Many of those here today would fear the experience of speaking in public. Sometimes people fear being the bearer of bad news, or people fear disappointing a loved one. While those fears are understandable, many times those fears keep us from doing what is right. I would like to share one example where I found fear stopping someone from doing what was right. During his years of premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. Once, as he censured Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? Who said that? Roared Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed as nobody in the room dared move a muscle. Then Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why." There is another interesting story involving Stalin. It is said that the Soviet dictator so feared for his safety that his residence in Moscow contained 8 bedrooms. Each night, Stalin chose a bedroom at random to ensure no one knew exactly where he was sleeping. This example of fear shows that no matter how powerful someone may be, they may harbor irrational fear. Stalin didn't even understand the minimum point of Tertullian's perspective, that worrying about the inevitable is pointless. It is obvious from his actions that he didn't understand that he would one day meet his maker and answer for how he lived his life. Today we are going to look at Matthew 10, 26 through 31. In this passage, the idea of fear is put into perspective. Turn to Matthew now. So we have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Today we will look at 4 points found in this passage. Don't fear man. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body. Remember, God values you, and acknowledge God to men. As we look at the first 2 verses again, we are reminded not to fear men. So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. The passage is reminding us that we are not to fear man. I came across an interesting article from Desiring God by John Bloom. Why do we fear others? Disapproval so much. We all experience this fear, and most of us don't want to admit how serious its tyranny can be. The Bible calls this the fear of man, and it can weave a web of ambiguity around issues that are biblically clear. The fear of man can immobilize us when we should take action and gag us into silence when we should speak. It feels powerful, but the power is deceptive. That's why the Bible tells us, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The Hebrew word here for snare replies to traps hunters use to catch animals or birds. Snares are dangerous. If we get caught, we must do whatever it takes to free ourselves. God has the power to free us, and he wants us living in the safe freedom of trusting him. But he frees us not by removing our fear of disapproval, but transferring it to the right place. And typically he frees us by helping us face our false fears so that they can lose their power over us. This story and the illustrations mentioned earlier clearly demonstrate how fear of man can cause us to not act in the best way possible. We may not be pushed to act wrongly, but we may avoid doing what is right. The second point today is to fear him who can destroy both soul and body. How often in today's culture do you hear statements like this? Who is it that we are to fear, as Matthew 10:28? And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In case you think this verse about fearing the Lord is an isolated instance, let's read a few more verses that give the same message. In Luke 12:4-5, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you to whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Turning to Isaiah 8:12-13, do not call conspiracy that all people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Then looking at Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Next, looking at Psalm 119:120, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Finally, I will read probably one of the most familiar passages dealing with the idea of fearing the Lord, which can be found in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So many people today think of themselves as wise and knowledgeable, but they aren't, because they don't fear the Lord. There are other passages that could be read pointing out the importance of reverence that we should have toward God. As we come to the third point, we are told to remember God values you. While looking for an illustration to demonstrate God's love for us, I came across the story of a father who had a disobedient child. That's nobody in here, of course. As far as the father knew, he had provided the child with everything he needed and never knowingly provoked his son to wrath. The father was at a loss to determine what caused the child to continue to disobey him. The boy was upstairs playing with a baseball, something he was told many times not to do, when the baseball went across the room and broke the window. When the father arrived, he started taking off his belt, and his son knew what was coming. The boy started getting ready for what was to come. When the father took his own shirt off and handed the boy the belt, the father told his son to hit him with the belt 7 times across the back. The boy whimpered because he didn't want to do it. The boy started striking the back softly, but the father insisted that he do it harder. Eventually, the boy struck his father the required 7 times. His father then asked him if he knew why the father did this. His son couldn't fathom why. The story goes on then to say he shared how Jesus took the punishment for us because he loved us so much. While his father's illustration of sacrifice of Christ's love didn't totally change the child's heart, he did seem to get in trouble less frequently. How often do we think about Christ and how he took unbelievable suffering to pay for our wrongdoing? We have done far worse than disobeying an earthly father. We have sinned against a holy and just God. As we look at the next three verses, we are reminded that God knows everything, and nothing happens that he doesn't ordain. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and are not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The thought that God is aware and in control of even sparrows should help Christians relieve any fears that they have. As I thought about this point, I recalled the story of Job. Job's response to all the troubles he experienced is striking. As Job is talking to his wife, he says, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. How much like Job are you? Job understood that everything comes from God. Sometimes we don't like or understand the events that happen, but we still need to praise God and continue bringing him glory. Acknowledge God to men is the fourth and final point we will explore today. So many people today are like Nebuchadnezzar, who think they are self-made people. Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way it was God who was in control. While Nebuchadnezzar initially denied the work of God, he acknowledged it in the end. A more modern example of acknowledging God can be seen in the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims did not believe that their colonies advanced because they were stronger, wiser, or more righteous than others. With the recognition of their imperfection and sin, and with the faith and much prayer, they sought to acknowledge God and his kingdom. The blessing which followed was all of God's doing. Looking back, Governor William Bradford of Plymouth could declare, "Of small beginnings, great things have been produced by hand. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shown to many in some sort our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise." The final two verses are a challenge to believers. Will we be like the Pilgrims who acknowledge God and his providence, or will we cave to the pressure of society? "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Sitting here right now, we are comfortable acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Most here are likely fairly comfortable sharing this truth if asked by someone, but less likely to openly share this during a casual encounter at the checkout line or with an acquaintance we see relatively infrequently. Our challenge today is to actively look for opportunities to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In summary, this passage we are told, don't fear man, fear him who can destroy soul and body, remember God values you, and acknowledge God to men. It is likely that Christians in the U.S. will become more and more persecuted, but we are reminded not to fear those that will persecute believers, because we serve the God of the universe. God will use any persecution we may receive to bring glory to himself. Fearing God will help individuals endure the persecution and will help us in everyday life to place things into perspective. Fearing God isn't having a shaking in the boots fear, but an understanding and reverent fear that God is all-powerful. We are sinful and deserve judgment of an all-powerful, holy God. When people are visited in Scripture by an angel, they typically respond in fear and awe. While having a fear of the Lord is a good, remember that God loves us so much that Jesus was sent to redeem those who were his enemies. Jesus endured so much to redeem those who believe in him. Jesus just leaving heaven was a sacrifice. He went from where all his commands were obeyed immediately to being born in a dirty, smelly stable. During a time when life was difficult and physically much harder than what we experience today. Jesus then lived a perfect life during a difficult time, perfectly obeying the Ten Commandments that we covered in a recent message at this church. Remember how the commandments were actually intensified in the Sermon on the Mount. Being unjustly angry with another is considered murder. A lustful thought made an individual guilty of adultery. Coveting is one of the most difficult sins to avoid. We are constantly told about new and improved products and services, entertainment advertised on many types of media. The most broken commandment, though, is thou shalt have no other gods before me. People tend to make themselves God or view God as they want him to be. Often God is portrayed in our culture as a loving grandfather who spoils his grandchildren and allows them to do whatever they want. While God is loving, he is also just. God is so loving that while we were still his enemies, he sent his son to pay for our sins. When we fear God and not man, our understanding of God and his love is expanded, and we are better able to walk with the Lord. Are you walking with the Lord the way you would like to? Or are you falling short? We all fall short, don't we? God, though, loves us and will carry us through each day. Help us to remember not to fear man. That can keep us from sharing the good news. Help us remember to fear God, because that will put things in perspective for us. Help us to remember God loves us. And we also need to unashamedly acknowledge God before others. Let us thank the Lord for his loving kindness. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to gather and worship you. We pray that you will help us not be fearful of man, but to fear you in the way that you desire, to have us understand you are holy and just and righteous and loving. And we just pray, Lord, that as we go through this week, we will reach out to those who don't know you, that need salvation through Jesus Christ. And help us to be bold in acknowledging your Son to a world that is lost. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you provide. Amen.